Welcome to the Jackie and Stacy Show, and I'm Stacy's son, Clark, and here to tell you about it. There are two women wrestling with things of this broken and beautiful life. Each week, they will tackle a topic in a transparent, sometimes distracted, but always fun way that hopefully encourages and challenges you. They will break down each topic by looking at it through four lenses: ourselves, God, our people, and our community. They will then give you a task to go forth with. Vaya con Dios.
Welcome to the Jackie and Stacy Show. I'm Stacy.
And I'm Jackie.
And we are talking about responsibility.
Yes,
taking responsibility.
And it's so weird that we're wearing the exact same thing we wore for our last podcast.
What? Oh. In the video. We have a video going.
Yeah.
I know. Did you even notice I'm wearing a bathing suit?
Yeah. Tell us why. I think this is
I'm going to go jump in the ocean later. My sister's flying in.
This is a big day. I mean, we could talk about this, Stace.
Can we? Okay. So we're recording this podcast episode on May 3rd.
Yes.
2024.
Oh my gosh. At approximately noon.
Yes.
Give or take.
And in like 6 hours, the results for the California bar exam come out. So I'm distracting myself by talking about responsibility.
Nerve-wracking. I mean.
So I'm just a little bit. I really do have some peace.
Yeah.
And some acceptance going on. Yeah. I did what I could.
Yeah.
But I am wearing a bathing suit because my sister is flying in from Memphis. My little baby sister, Amy. And she swam.
Do they live in Memphis now?
They live in Memphis now.
I always picture them living in England.
They did live in England. And when she lived in England, she looked across and saw France and said,
I'll swim there.
I could swim that. I could do that.
That's exactly the opposite of what I would think.
And so
I would think I never want to get in that water.
She trained for 18 months and swam the English Channel in 14 hours and 41 minutes. And she was number like 1,744 in history to swim solo across the English Channel.
Amazing. Didn't you go do it with her once?
Well, I did go. So I did some training swims so that I could be like her rescue swimmer or something.
Yeah.
But when I went to England, the weather didn't work out because there's like this whole thing. You have like a ferry boat that is near you, but you can't touch it. You can touch this shore and then that shore. And that's it. You cannot touch anything in the middle or you're disqualified. And so so she's flying out today and she's like, okay, well, she lives in Memphis. There's no oceans or really obviously no ocean, but no open water swimming there. And so she's like, I'm going to land and I'm going to go jump in the ocean and go for a swim. And I'm
like in her blood, huh?
I'm like, well, maybe. I go, you know what I'm going to do? Same thing. You know, like cold plunges are supposed to be real
so
good for you.
So good for you. It just all sorts of good
and
things.
And we have like a
whole
free, you know, cold plunge right there.
Free cold plunge.
Real big one.
Yep.
So that's what I'm going to do.
Have you seen that movie about the gal who swam?
The English Channel.
No, it wasn't.
Well, she swam. She swam from like Cuba to Florida or something.
Yes. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. My sister has lots of opinions. I have not seen the movie and I won't go see it because my sister has lots of heavy opinions on how fake news it is. And the lady's probably a big fat liar or something. So I don't know.
Okay. It's highly
if you've seen it, I'm sure that it's entertaining because it's a movie. And so you're going to, movies tell all the good things and maybe some made up things.
Yeah.
That's what movies do. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's entertaining.
I can't remember what it's called, so we're not giving it any.
It's like her name, but I can't remember it. At any rate.
Perfect.
Today, we are going to talk about taking responsibility. With that long intro, our last episode, we discussed kind of what that means, taking responsibility. And this is all stemming from last month's topic of agency, which is like what we're in control of, what we're not. And so taking responsibility is one thing that we can take control of. We have agency over this area. And today we're going to look through the lens of faith. And Jackie's going to teach us exactly how to do that today.
Get ready, take notes, because I know it all. No, actually, as is often the case, we start by saying we know almost nothing.
Yes.
And we're coming to you humbly with this topic to say let's talk about what we think we've sort of learned over and what we're still learning and
what we're interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. And we always, always want to encourage you to give us feedback. So let us know if you don't agree with something we say, if you have a different thought, we'd love to hear from you around those things. So I think it's always helpful for me to start too, after first admitting with humility that, you know, we're not experts on this topic. But in this particular lens, to remind myself that I just want to recognize and accept. I think responsibility when it comes to faith starts with recognizing and accepting our obligation as Christ followers from our faith lens, because he first loved us. So I think so often, you know, Stacey likes her images, like you're going to walk into a church and you're going to be hit by a bolt of lightning. Like, you don't have to be perfect before you walk into church. You don't have to be perfect to become a Christian. In fact, none of us is, right? Did you know that's proper grammar? I just had a grammar moment. None of us is the right way to say it. Sounds wrong,
why?
Doesn't it?
Because you said it means us.
Not
us is?
None means not one of us is.
Ooh.
So I'm just saying,
beautiful grammar
lesson.
Thank you.
None of us is.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect. I know it sounds wrong, but it's right. But that's where our responsibility starts, is this idea of everything's already been done for us. So ultimately, we are not responsible for anything. That's grace. Jesus did it all, and we have no responsibility after that. However, because he loved us first, because he did all of that for us, out of love and response to that great love that we can't even begin to understand, we can choose to be responsible in our faith as a response to Jesus, to God. That's kind of the starting place for me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. So then, like, just as I think about that, because that really has to be the foundation if you're a Christian, then I start to think about what am I responsible for and what am I not in my faith. So what comes to mind when I ask you that question? Can you, like, just off the cuff, what are you responsible for as a Christian?
Loving God.
Okay.
Like, knowing God.
Okay.
Seeking God.
Okay. Rattle things
that's
off.
Really.
That's it?
Well,
so, I mean,
I think
for
some
people, right.
Or, like,
some
being
people
good,
would say,
obeying
go
the rules,
to church, praying.
Wearing a doily dress.
Wearing a doily dress, 100%.
I don't know, saving myself for marriage.
Okay. What are your
no drunken orgies, wearing my hair in braids, no makeup. No, I don't know. But, like,
right,
not being promiscuous.
Okay.
Taking care of everybody, feeding the poor. Serving.
So, yeah.
I don't know. There's, like, a laundry
and
list.
I love that list because like, some of those things couldn't be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think God cares if you are a doily or not, for example. And some of those things I actually do think are part of our responsibility
yes.
as Christians. So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, actually, I'm just going to pose them as questions so we can discuss.
Sure.
Well, let's start with this one. Micah 6:8. A lot of people know this one. A lot of tattoos based on this one.
Yeah, a lot of tattoos.
And here is the scripture. Are you ready? What does the Lord require of you? Look at that. It's exactly asking, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There it is. In black and white. No. I mean, it's not that simple, of course. But what does that mean to you, Stace? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Oh.
What part of that stands out to you or speaks to you? Do you like it?
I love it.
I love it too.
I love all of it.
Yeah.
Because I like instructions.
Yes.
As we talked about in the last one, right? I
give
like things to be clear. I have always been like, what does God want of me? And I would like,
Stacey, this is God. This is exactly what you should do.
And that's helpful to me in life. I like that. So
The other one that goes along with that is when they ask Jesus, which are the most important of the commandments? And as you referenced earlier, what are they, Stacey? What are the most important?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, something like that.
Well, Jesus says, love God and love people.
Basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love God and love people. And so, I mean, I think we'll just, after the foundation of God did it all and we're responsible for nothing, the next foundation is love God, love people. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Okay, podcast over.
Mic drop.
What does that mean? Like, what does that look like?
Well,
how's that play
okay, so,
out?
Well, let me tell you that
tell me.
Something I'm doing this year, and maybe I've talked about it before, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that I wanted to, what I'm doing, where are we in May now? Is that
almost halfway through the year.
I wanted to,
crazy.
I know. Start reading. When I read in the mornings, I sometimes read, sometimes pray, sometimes journal, I sometimes just stare out the window. And my 2 to 3 times a week that I sit with my coffee and have my little just moments. And one thing I wanted to do this year is I started reading the New Testament. I wanted to hear what Jesus had to say.
Yeah.
Because so much of what we imagine, like what you asked me to open this up is, you know, what are the things we have to do? What are the things we're responsible as Christians? And I think a lot of that list of stuff comes from, I don't know. I don't even know where I got it.
People trying to put rules onto a religion because ultimately the same reason you said, it's like we like rules.
Yes.
So yep. Now we're going to come up with all of these ways to know if you're a real Christian or not. Mm-hmm.
For people to know.
Right.
I don't give a damn what people are. I do. I kind of do. I said that this morning. I don't care what people think, but I kind of do.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting thing because I think as we're trying to let go of something, we have to like swing all the way over here and then we can come back here. So for you to say, I don't care at all, the reality is you do care, but you're getting to that place where you are caring in the right to the right degree. Mm. So in that process, you have to be like, I don't care. When yeah. In reality, we know you.
I do.
Yes.
And so I wanted to go back to the source. I read a book many years ago now called like The Good and Beautiful God. And that was a book about what does God have to say yeah. about who God is?
Yeah.
Do I want to listen to like what people think or say on the street, you know, what they're yelling at others, what they should be doing? Or do I just want to go to like hear what Jesus had to say? And yeah. So that's been my goal this year is to read through. And I like to read the Bible slowly and reflect on stuff, and sometimes I read parts over and over, and so I'm reading the book of Matthew and just like trying to kind of get I'm trying to understand Jesus.
Yeah.
He's a pretty controversial
I mean countercultural, really, right?
Countercultural, absolutely. Mm. And upside not really down. What we thought, what's like kind of like the common perception of Christianity.
Yeah.
Like you said, oh no, I can't walk into church because the holy water is going to boil or something. Yeah. And Jesus was anti that crap.
Yep.
Completely anti.
Yep.
Like, no, this isn't about ironically, people and like the stuff you're doing or the life, the choices you have made. It's, do you seek me? Are you looking for me? Where's your heart?
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful.
It is
and so different. It's not what I imagined based on Gary Larson cartoons.
That's awesome. You know, when I was 17, I think, I did the play Godspell.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
Oh, okay. So it's literally the book of Matthew set to music. It's a musical about Jesus.
Oh.
It's his whole story. And it's all scripture. The entire thing is scripture.
What?
Yeah, with songs. Huh. And so I pretty much know all of Matthew by heart. We performed that play. Are you ready? Some plays you go to, like they have like 2 weekends where they were performed 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
We had 10 weekends, 5 times a weekend. Thursday,
what?
Friday, twice on Saturday, and once on Sunday. Yeah. And so 50 performances of Godspell. So anyways, this is neither here nor there. I'm sure none of you care out there, but I learned the book of Matthew. I learned all of Jesus' words by being in that play. It's a great play if you ever have a chance to see it. It's really good. But I think one of the things that I want to kind of touch on as we're just thinking about this idea is, you know, at different seasons of my life, what the responsibility of being a Christian has looked differently to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there's different seasons. And so like one of the things that I have learned, I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. And so these are concepts that are foundational to everything that I've known to be true my whole life. But what that looks like has changed so much for me. Mm-hmm. So the concept of social justice is one mm-hmm. that I really I was just in such a bubble of my own world for the first 30 years of my life. I don't know, 30, give or take. But Isaiah 1:17 says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. And ultimately, to me, the specific widow and fatherless, like orphan, it's kind of important, but also context-wise, those were just the vulnerable people in that culture, in that society. So he's just saying, like, stand up for the people that can't stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Defend people that can't defend themselves. Do justice. Do mm-hmm. right in mm-hmm. this world on my behalf.
Yes.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so that's been something that's developed in my life so not doing it perfectly, but grateful for the process of learning to love God by loving other people and not just the people in my immediate circle. That's important too, of course. Like if I'm like feeding the poor and awful to my kids, like something's wrong. And that is a thing, right? We know that's a thing out in the world.
Yes, it is.
But like for me, like learning what it looks like to find people that are not in my immediate circle and love them well as kind of a physical outpouring of God's love for me, doing that. So that's been new for me. And it's been a pretty cool, like even just traveling to places I never would have cared to go before because I was happy in my own little bubble. Like, yes, I'll go to Haiti and I'll go to South Sudan and see the way different ways people interpret who God is and who Jesus is and what that looks like for them. And that's been a pretty cool process for me. But anyway. Okay,
travel in general is so important for broadening your ability to be humble and observe the world, even if you're – no matter where you're traveling.
I agree. Just outside of your own space, whatever that looks like, even if it's the other side of town.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Totally agree. And the last thing I just want to – put out there just because I think it wouldn't be responsible not to. As Christians, we are called to share our faith. It's kind of a responsibility we have. Like, it's that whole thing. I know this analogy is so overused, but like, if you had the cure for cancer and you didn't share it, that would be irresponsible, right? And it's the same thing. Like, I hope we do it organically. I hope we do it with love. I hope we do it because we truly believe it's life-changing. And so if that is true, then we do have a responsibility at some level to share that with people. And I don't know what that looks like. For everyone, it looks like something different. But for me, it looks like sharing. And we haven't done this in a long time, but real briefly, I can share that before I knew Jesus. Because I said I grew up in a Christian home, and I did. I knew all about God. And I would have said God was a part of my life. In fact, I mean, I did a whole lot of things even as a teenager because of my Christian faith, but it sure was not a relationship. And so when I met Jesus in my mid-20s, I was in a deep, dark place. I was struggling with so many demons. I mean, like not actual demons, but like internal demons, like hard things in my life. Let's call them that. Just darkness and insecurity and looking for things in all the wrong places. And so it was almost instantaneous when I decided I wanted to follow Jesus. There was a lightness that came with that and a joy and a peace that passes understanding that in my life didn't get perfect overnight at all. It's still not perfect, but my ability to deal with those things with God changed everything for me, And I don't want to hold back on that and telling other people about that because – why would I want to? That was so life-changing for me and continues to be every day life-changing for me.
Can you share with us what that means to, like, that's kind of the thing. People say, are you saved? Are you whatever? Like, what does it mean to invite Jesus
in? I didn't say the word saved.
You didn't say that. I know. But other people do, like, from that moment, like, meeting Jesus. What does that look like? And how do people, you know, if God is real, if it's true that we want to share that with people, how do we invite others in a very real way? I mean, there's one, the Bible says that we're called to go out, the Great Commission, they call it. Like, if you're a believer, you're basically commissioned to go out and spread the good to the ends of the earth.
Yep.
And sometimes that means to your neighbor. Sometimes that means the ends of the earth. Yeah. It's everywhere. Yep. Because the ends of the earth is wherever God is not there. Mm. And I think. And then, you know, you also have the, is it St. Francis of Assisi or something that said, preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words.
I don't think that's who it was. But
was it that? Not that?
I mean, that is, you're right. That's the quote.
But I don't know if that's who said it.
Yeah, you might be right.
And so it's like, we're always kind of there. But, you know, what if somebody's listening right now and goes, like, what the heck are you guys even talking about? This is kind of weird. I don't know about God. I'm not going to see Godspell this weekend. You know, what does that mean in the book of Matthew?
Well, I think the place to start, if you literally don't know anything, the place to start is just to say to God, hey, if you're real, show me. Mm-hmm. And I'm paying attention, you know, because for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's a process. So, right, you have to learn about God first and who mm-hmm. he is. Mm-hmm. And but if you're ready and you're like, you feel that sense that actually I'm ready right now, then that's a totally different conversation. And then I think it's just about saying, I actually don't have all the answers and I trust you, God, to lead my life. You know, it's just a trusting. It's a moment of saying, I'm turning over my control of my own life mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And trusting you, Jesus, to be the leader of my life. So that's what it was for me. And it was a process. I mean, it was definitely, it probably was a 2-year process. I have the visual for me is I was living in Southern California and I had two people that that were really instrumental in my faith journey. Both were women in their 40s and I was in my 20s. And one of them had given me a mixtape.
Ooh, worship cassette songs. Tape.
And on tape. Saturday mornings were always particularly lonely time for me for whatever reason. And I would put on my little I had a Walkman.
Oh,
with a
cassette,
yeah. I put the cassette tape and I would put it on and I would put on my spandex, shiny spandex, and my rollerblades. And I would rollerblade from the Huntington Pier, pardon me, from the Newport Pier to the Huntington Pier and back. And listen to this music. And I would just cry and cry and cry and cry.
Wow.
And I would listen to the words. And not to get all hyper-spiritual because that's just not who I am. But I really, like, God worked in my heart through that time. And at some point during that 2 years process of watching these two women faithfully live life, not perfectly, but with faith, and having those moments on Saturday mornings. And that's when I just decided this isn't feeling right what I'm doing on my own right now. And I feel like the answer is Jesus. And that was the process for me. So mm-hmm. there you go.
Well, the Bible says that God is waiting. He's there and he's knocking at the door.
Wooing us.
And he loves us with just a lavish love. Yeah. And so if we're to take responsibility in kind of seeking a faith, or if you're curious about it, yeah. it takes a little bit of action.
Yeah.
And some of that action would be when we're saying, you know, talk to God. It doesn't mean you have to be like on your knees with your hands folded. I mean, you could just be driving and looking out right now.
Rollerblading.
You could be rollerblading in your spandex. I can only picture like the Barbie movie right now since that was
pretty much. So funny. Yeah, you're right, but it does take a little bit of action.
And like seeking, pick something up and read it.
You know.
Ask someone.
Read the Bible.
But go to the source,
yeah. yes.
which is the Bible.
Yes.
And
yes.
God.
Yep.
And that, how you do that is sitting, praying. Praying is thinking, it's talking, it's crying, it's singing a song that is saying what's true and what God has to say about stuff. So that, I think, may be our Vaya con Dios for the day, is for you to take an action that's towards seeking God.
Love it.
Is God standing there waiting and, you know, loves with this, unending. What's the quote from the Jesus storybook?
It's so beautiful. Bible. And I can't think of it.
Never ending, always and forever love.
Yeah.
And I can't describe it. So, except for that. So you can seek it. And we hope that if you have any questions, of course, you can call us or talk to us or whatever.
100%.
We'd love it.
We'd love that.
We love it. And I just pray for all of you right now listening that you're feeling this peace that surpasses understanding that I'm trying to have today too. And that's
timing.
What I'm praying for myself. And so thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing all that with us, Jackie,
Absolutely.
Today.
Thank
this just
you.
Feels very sweet and special. And
awesome.
Vaya con Dios.